This is The Odds Couple with Chicago radio legend Mike North and midday host Carmen DeFalco. The Odds Couple on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome into your weekend. Time for another episode of The Odds Couple. Mike North and Carmen DeFalco with you, and happy to be with you as we have reached the final weekend of May already. We're hot into baseball. We got a Game 7. We got the Stanley Cup Final right around the corner. So much fun stuff to talk about. Mikey, great to be with you as always, my friend.
Great to talk to you, Carm. I know you were off last week. You're a prisoner of your family right now. You're a baseball coach that's in a traveling league, which means basically anybody that knows you hardly sees you.
That's right.
Except the kids.
That's
because
right.
You're spending a lot of time and happy for you there. It's great to be with you. Great to be with Eric. We're rolling. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We can explain to you how Carmen and I loved Carolina for years, and then we jumped off them, and now they're destroying the Montreal Canadiens. I thought the Montreal Canadiens were going to give a better example of themselves because they look so good against Buffalo, and they lose that game, and then Cubs finally won two games. I talked to a lady yesterday. She says, I couldn't find the flag. I hadn't flown it for so long. So she put it out on her driveway, so it's a lot of fun. The Cubs are back a little bit. The White Sox are a shock.
Unreal, Mike.
I drove to a softball outing, folks, the 16-inch softball Hall of Fame, of which I'm a proud member, but the outing was at Hickory Hills on 95th Street and was an 8:30 start, about the time you'd be going to a Bear game if it's in Hammond. Good luck to everybody if we end up there. I got there. It took an hour and a half from where I live, but other people had trouble too, and boy, that 294 is a
Well, all the construction doesn't help.
And it's funny. Construction on 53 going towards Arlington and huge construction going towards, Indiana. It's
construction everywhere for crying out loud.
It's every summer, though.
I know. You nailed it on our baseball teams. What a story. I mean, and the Cubs have been kind of a weird story, but they're still very good. The White Sox are just a feel-good story. And Mike, they might actually be a decent baseball team. That's what's incredible about this whole thing. Like they I don't think it's that fluky that they might be pretty good.
I was trying to explain the White Sox to somebody the other day. I don't know them. The guy's telling me I'm just finding out about them. I go, you're describing Tampa Bay. They're playing Tampa Bay Ray baseball, folks. I watch baseball every night. I bet every night. Check out North and North, and you'll see the picks. Not doing as well in baseball as I did last year. Believe me, a couple games under 500. Last year was 45 over. But I watch baseball every night, and I watch Tampa Bay. And I'm looking at the White Sox, where a lot of the kids still are unknown. I'm looking at good talent. Sure, we need an upgrade at third base. Kid's 231 hitter. Can't field his position all that well. He's about a 950 hitter, but I like Vargas. He comes up with timely hits. They're a team. They're like Tampa Bay, and I give Getz full credit. And here's where I'm going to counter with somebody. Reporter Bruce, I used to call him. Covers the Cubs. Gets birthday cards from him. And he wants the Sox to extend Murakami already. Like we learned nothing from the other guys that we extended, but here's the difference. Murakami's performing.
Yes,
but
that's
I think
the difference.
I think you wait till the end of the year, and then maybe next year see what's going on, because we are still digging out from Moncada, who got a big extension. Robert got a big extension back in the day. They couldn't wait after we made the playoffs. It was like trickery, Carm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those guys got extensions before they even play. Well, Moncada was different because he was an international signing.
But he sucked anyway.
Yeah.
We knew that was a...
But Aloy and Robert got like... those deals were extended very early on. You're right.
And too early.
Yeah. Well, but I think you nailed it. The difference here is this kid's playing and doing it. And they also say he is a really diligent worker, something that those other guys just weren't.
Oh, no doubt. That's a good point. Yeah. And they keep throwing him fastballs. I'm going, boy, the book on him is if you throw him a fastball, he'll lay it out. I mean, I'm hearing the nonsense. Stay off the I can't stand the LeBron-Jordan comparisons. Now we're hearing Ohtani's the greatest player of all time. I made a comment yesterday. When he makes 24 All-Star games, like Stan Musial, call me. When he, he's got to be able to pitch like Babe Ruth, who was 96-44 in his career, 2.88. Ohtani is great. He would have dominated in any era. But Ted Williams and these other guys did astronomical things, hitting 400, hitting 700 homers. I love Ohtani, But just leave him as one of the great ball players since the year 2000 for now. We don't have time to get into all the great players I saw. But I think he's a 270 hitter right now, and he's a 280 lifetime hitter. Ruth hit 342 lifetime, and they hit an oven mitt. Okay? They hit an oven mitt, folks. Believe me. You ever hauled a ball from 1925?
No.
Went to the Hall of Fame.
Can only imagine.
Okay? Yeah, my mom had a potholder
that
had more structure.
Yeah.
So he was doing stuff like Ohtani is now. The problem is, I think, and I would say this, would you ever trade, let's say Judge and Skeens were on the team, same team. You can only play one position at once, Carm. Would you trade Ohtani for Judge and Skeens right now?
No.
You'd keep Ohtani. Okay.
No. I meant I would rather have Skeens and
Absolutely.
Judge than Shohei.
You can only, and I love Ohtani.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry. Yeah.
What he is a freak, just like Ruth was, folks. And just let everybody have their space and quit the comparisons with everything. Because, man, I mean, they got the best of everything now. Okay, these players. And,
yeah.
And you know, Ruth had to play, and I think there should be two record books because pre-integration.
Sure,
and
of course, yeah.
But Japan Japan only lets four foreign players play on each team.
Mm.
So they've been integrating forever, and Ohtani faced a lot of mediocre Japanese players when if you were allowed to have multiple American and Latin players, Japan would be overrun, period. That's the way they look at it. So everybody's had advantages. Just keep the guy. Wouldn't you keep the persons alone?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to like compare these eras. That's
Absolutely.
Why I think it's dangerous. I mean, he's certainly one of the most special guys I've ever seen.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And anybody under 35 thinks he's the greatest. But
right.
I'm here to tell you.
Right.
Make 24 all-star teams like Aaron and me.
Not all of them got to see Mike Schmidt play, or maybe you're not old enough to some guys if you saw Mickey Mantle play, or you know. So I get it. I mean, there's been lots of great players.
Here. Don't tell me he was, and I understand the steroid thing, so, but there was a tweet out that said that he was better than the following players, and, you know, I'm the king of the boomers, as you know. I'm self-proclaimed king of the boomers, but in this tweet, okay, and I'm going to read it for everybody. I just want to see what Carmen, Ohtani was better than Ruth, Bonds, Aaron, Mays, Williams, and Cobb.
So I only saw, I mean, it's hard to even compare these things because, again, who's judging this? Like, I didn't see those. I saw Bonds play, obviously.
Ohtani will never hit 400. He'll never hit 600 homers because he started late. Mays was as good a center fielder as anybody.
That's what everybody says.
Yes. Barry Bonds, you want to say he's better than Barry Bonds, go ahead.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Ty Cobb, Ted Williams hit. Next thing I'll hear that he was a better airplane pilot than Ted Williams, okay, who was in two wars. Enough! I've had it! And then we finally have the wins with the Cubs. How about that? Thank God.
Well, they finally scored some runs, Mike. Look, they had a 8-game stretch where they scored 14 total runs. Then they busted out the final two in Pittsburgh to get the split.
I had the under 7.5 yesterday. I thought I was in.
Oof.
And I did have the Cubs.
That's good.
Skeens cannot, as good as he is, if you're going to throw almost 100 pitches in 5 or 6 innings, you know, then they got to pull you.
Sure.
He's got to find the strike zone just a little bit more. He's got a 3 ERA. He improved on it yesterday. Great pitcher. Just no doubt about it, but I just don't know. See, Tom Seaver, remember Tom Seaver played on a bad baseball team, and it didn't matter. He won 22-20. You just look it up. The Mets were horrible. That's the difference. That guy was – nobody ever talks about him. I mean, do you ever – I mean,
which is shameful. Phenomenal.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
First time that Paul Skeens has ever lost 3 straight decisions. So, this is kind of uncharted territory. Although, I mean, he gave up a run. He gave up 1 earned run anyway. He struck out 10. He's still
bad. Yeah, Pittsburgh's fielding is horrible.
Yeah, they kind of cost him. But good win for the Cubs. They needed that. Now they're on to St. Louis and Imanaga in the opener. Look, he's been roughed out his last 2 times out. He's allowed more runs in his last 2 starts, 15, than he allowed in his previous 9, 14.
Yes.
And he's also surrendering the long ball at kind of a high rate again. For a while there, he was just giving up solo shots. Now they're taking him deep with runners on base. If you want to look at some of the Cardinals' home run props, probably not a bad idea because Imanaga has been giving up that long ball again. But the Cubs, they've got to feel better about themselves going into this weekend after splitting that series.
You beat Skeens. I mean, yeah, you got to feel good about it. You got the pressure off your back. There, you know, Bregman's got a 7-game hitting streak, but he's got to hit the ball for homers. He wasn't signed for that kind of money just to be singles hitter, but at least we got a guy that's showing up every day. I saw yesterday, I criticized him last week. The White Sox, when Sammy Antonacci takes a turn at first base, even on a base hit up the middle, he's almost halfway to second. They play, they dig hard. Where the Cubs stop right on the bag. They'll get a base hit. They'll take a couple steps on the swing, on the turn off the bag. And I saw Bregman yesterday digging. I'm seeing the team digging harder. I think they were in the doldrums. But, you know, the over-under was 88, Carmen, and it looked like it was going to go over easy.
Sure. I still think it'll go over.
But it's going to be a little tighter than
it'll be a lot.
Thought,
it'll be tighter.
Right?
There's no doubt about it. You know, you're right. After a 10-game losing streak,
maybe they're a streaky team.
Very.
Can a streaky team? I mean, it was getting so serious on Marquee that I didn't hear Taylor McGregor one game. I don't know where she went. JD tried to compare the Cubs' 9-game, 10-game losing streak to the Yankees in 1953. He failed to mention they won 99 games and won the World Series. So, I mean, they're trying to stay positive, but I still think that they got a lot of flaws, Carm. I think they're pitching right now.
That's the problem. Yeah,
that's the problem. I'm worried about Imanaga. I am.
We'll see if he can bounce back tonight as he goes to the bump in St. Louis. Coming up, Luke Pergandy is going to join us. From Prop Swap, we've got a bunch of stuff to still talk about. Game 7 in the NBA and OKC on Saturday night. The Hurricanes can advance to the Stanley Cup Final to face Vegas with a win tonight. We'll talk about that game. Plus, we've got Jim Miller with Ponies later on and our best plays rolling into the weekend. We're just getting warmed up. Don't go anywhere. It's Mike and Carmen. We're coming right back on The Odds Couple.
This is The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000. This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple. Mike and Carmen with you, of course, on the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000. Make sure you've got the app. You can listen anytime, anywhere on demand. Make sure you've got the Prop Swap app. It's great. It's simple. It's free. It's easy to use. You could also go to PropSwap.com. Out to the Yuengling guest hotline to say hi to one of the founding members to get us up to speed going into the last weekend of May. He joins us every week. Say hi to Luke Pergandy.
Prop Swap is simple.
Hi, Carm. Hi, Mike.
Hey, we got a Game 7, Luke. It's always exciting. We'll see how this goes. We also have a Knicks team that's just sitting and waiting, lying in wait, nice and rested. Either way, they're going to be an underdog, but man, oh man, does it ever feel like the Knicks have a real shot at this. I don't know if OKC or San Antonio is as dominant or going to run away with anything as much as people wanted to believe in the last month, maybe even 2 weeks ago. The Knicks are a great story. Believe it or not, like people are going to, if it's Oklahoma City, you're going to have more people cheering for the Knicks nationwide, which is weird to say, but that's going to be the case. And if you want to get in on them now, you can get them about 2-1. It seems like the Knicks have some real juice here all of a sudden.
Yeah. I would say, you know, if you're going to pick the West, you need to make a decision before Saturday night, because both of those two teams are both plus money. San Antonio is like plus 245. I think Oklahoma City is like plus 130. They both will be minus money. The hypotheticals are out.
Yeah.
So they both will be minus money. Whoever wins that side, they'll be minus money against the Knicks. So to me, like, if you're going to pick the West, the Knicks odds aren't changing a ton. They'll be more of a dog versus Oklahoma City than they would San Antonio. So, you know, if you're going to take the Knicks, you can make a call on that. If you assume San Antonio wins, you should wait. If you assume Oklahoma City wins, you should wait. If you assume San Antonio wins, you should pause if you're going to choose the Knicks. So just, you know, have that in your head before Saturday night's game at, you know, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma City, if they win the game, I think the Knicks would prefer San Antonio, even though you have to put up with Wemby, who's fantastic. Okay, I think it's the other guys that they match up well. I think Brunson, I've coached against him. I've seen him with my own eyes.
Unreal, Mike.
I've seen him score 40 points in high school with double teamed. I think Becky Hammond was a little out of line saying, you know, he's not really a superstar. Are you kidding me? You don't know the history of the New York Knicks and what this kid is carrying on his shoulders now. Cat has surprised us. But my take is if Oklahoma City wins against San Antonio, I think they beat the Knicks. But if San Antonio wins, I think the Knicks beat San Antonio. So that's what you got to decide, Luke. But if you decide on Oklahoma City,
Mike. I agree with you.
You agree? Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Because if you have to decide before Saturday's game on Oklahoma City or San Antonio, and what happens if you pick the wrong team? Right? I mean,
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with Oklahoma City. I'm riding them all the way. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I do lean Oklahoma City as well.
They could lose tomorrow.
They could.
Of course they could. Of course they absolutely could lose. I think that game, Oklahoma City is favored by 3.5. I think it should be 0.5 or 1. I think I thought these two teams were the best two teams in the NBA for a while. I thought the Celtics were good. Of course, you know, huge contingent on Tatum coming back into the season. They just couldn't gel quick enough, so they're, of course, long gone. So I think whoever wins on Saturday night is going to beat the Knicks. But I also thought the Knicks would be like plus 350 coming into this, and they're going to be like plus 250 depending on which team they play. So they are doing better than I kind of thought. But I still think Oklahoma City would win if they win Saturday. And I think it'd be darn close. Like you said, like way better shot does New York have against San Antonio. Wemby's going to get his. Wemby, if you ask any NBA coach, like he's going to score. The question is, like, does Castle and Bassel and Bryant, do they kind of go off, or do you keep them contained and then you beat the Spurs?
It's not really Pippen and Rodman that are joining Wemby. You know what I mean? I mean,
no.
he's maybe a big two or a big three by himself, but I just don't like a supporting cast, Carm.
I mean, they're young. That's the thing. Like, they're not supposed
away,
to be
maybe.
This far in the playoffs yet. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to be in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Wemby's 22. Dylan Harper's 20. He's been unbelievable.
Man. Wow.
Yeah.
Stephon Castle's like 23. I mean, you know, it's like that's – so I lean Oklahoma City 2, but, man, I'm not totally convinced, and there's something about this Knicks team right now. The way they're playing offense, the mojo they have, the way that ball is moving, the way that they're hitting shots. I mean, they've just been historically good. I mean, 40% from three in the playoffs. Now, maybe you say that just can't continue, but they've done it for this long. I mean, why can't it at this point?
They're going to have five guys that they're playing against that will play defense.
Well, and that's true. That is a good point.
James Harden was a disgrace. I don't care what anybody says. And so was a couple other guys on that team that gave up.
That's a good point. They're going to run into a team that can really guard the perimeter. So either way, but especially with OKC. So that is a fair point. That's a fair counter. Like, the Knicks are about to see a different type of defensive opponent that's really going to be able to get into them on the perimeter. That's true.
Yeah, I think two more quick questions that I've been pondering. How much does fatigue play into Oklahoma City and San Antonio just, you know, beating each other down over seven games? They do have a nice interim of rest, so the finals doesn't start until Wednesday. So Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night to get rested, do their cryo, do all the super advanced, you know, recovery tools that they have at their disposal. So, but I still think it's something to consider. New York is as rested as you can possibly be, of course, sweeping Cleveland. And then what do we think of Coach Brown? Like, I haven't looked into if he's won NBA Finals before. What do we think about him, as New York's head coach?
I'm surprised. I thought it was going to be a step down from Thibodeau. I'll give him full credit. You get the New York Knicks there with the team that you have, and they got better as the season went along. But I also will say that division and that conference was weak. I think what Cleveland, how they played, was a disgrace to the NBA. Harden should not be picked up by any contender thinking that they are going to get better with him. I think that the door is finally closed. There were a bunch of genius GMs that thought they could, you know, win and add that piece. I still miss Darius. They're going to miss Darius Garland at the end of the day. that they got rid of him because I thought he fit good with Mitchell. The Harden-Mitchell thing, it was just too hard. Two guys that want the ball, wasn't it, Carm?
Harden, too. Yeah.
Go ahead, Carm.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't even know if it's sort of too much that the two guys that want the ball, I think this is just, you know, thinking that James Harden is the missing link or the missing piece at any point, I think is silly.
Yep.
You know, so that's, you know, and their fate might have been the same with Garland and Mitchell, to be honest.
Maybe.
They might have been. But thinking that Harden is going to be your answer or get you over the top, I just find it hard to believe at this point. It's never happened. Yeah, why is it going to happen now?
His defense is nearly laughable. And I realize he's like 34 now or something. I realize that. But like watching him try and guard Jalen Brunson was a total joke. Like he literally would let him go by him and then try to do like the sneak back and like pop the ball out. I'm like, you're going to try and do that against one of the best guards in the world. I thought that was a total laughing stock of him trying to play defense to go to the NBA finals. And he's making $42 million. I don't understand.
And you've always been a hardened guy. And I respected that because, you know what, the guys put up some gigantic numbers. But, you know, from Brooklyn on the last 3-4 years especially, I just don't understand these GMs that keep sinking the ship because of him.
Yeah, it's true. I don't think it's going to happen at this point for James Harden.
Nope.
All right, Luke, have a great weekend. Enjoy Game 7, buddy. We got the NHL Stanley Cup Final starting next week, too. Should be good. We will catch up again next Friday.
Yeah, Vegas Golden Knights looked incredible. I took them, went on the show last week and said I got them at 10-1.
Dude, beautiful.
Like 2 days before that, so like a week and a half ago, got them at 10-1. They looked amazing. I didn't see that coming. That's crazy.
It's a marvel, you guys. I mean, 9 years in existence, they've been to the final 3 times. It's really remarkable.
Ownership's amazing. GM's great. The Mitch Marner trade. Mitch Marner is the favorite to win.
Yep.
To win Conn Smythe. They got him at, you know, with and then the coaching change. Coaching change with like 10 games to go.
Didn't
Vegas only lose 30 and win 39 games during the regular season?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
They won 39 games, I think. If you're not mistaken.
I'll check real
Absolutely.
Quick. That sounds about right, though. I mean, like I think that's why they felt like they needed a different voice. Yeah. They were getting sick of Bruce Cassidy. Yeah, Vegas did finish with 95 points. I mean, that's like not a gaudy total, to Mike's point. They had 39, Mike. You nailed it.
Yeah.
There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, there were 11 teams with more points than Vegas. Yeah, it's incredible. Yep.
Yeah,
all right, Luke.
That's a good point.
Have a great weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, boys. Bye.
There's Luke Pergandy from
my guy.
That's our guy from Prop Swap on the Yingling guest hotline. We got more hockey to talk about for tonight. We got a big game 5 in Raleigh. We'll get to that. We're talking baseball, game 7, all kinds of fun stuff. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got more to do. It's Mike and Carmen. We're cruising along. We're the Odds Couple rolling you into the weekend on ESPN Chicago and the ESPN Chicago app.
This is the Odds Couple on ESPN 1000.
The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back inside this week's episode of The Odds Couple. Mike and Carmen with you every week on demand with the ESPN Chicago app. We'll be on the air with the Encore replay this Saturday after day baseball on the South Side. It's around 4 o'clock, give or take. Sox entertaining the Tigers this week. Remember, we're your home for White Sox baseball. Follow us on X. Mike is at North to North. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Simple as that. All right, so we talked a little bit about it here with Luke Pergandy. We were talking about the NBA, way the finals are going to look here. The Knicks are going to be a little bit of an underdog no matter what, but they get to sit and wait. We've got Game 7 coming up Saturday night in OKC. Spurs took care of business. A little bit of a surprising final result, if you ask me. First half was close. Second half, not at all. Spurs win big. The Thunder shot just 37% from the floor on Thursday night, just 10 of 40 from distance. And the Spurs really pulled away with a dominant second half. OKC shot 28.6% in the second half. That can't continue if they're going to win on Saturday. I don't think it will. They get to be at home where they're 6-1 straight up, 5-2 against the spread in the playoffs this year. And over the past 2 postseasons, Mike, it's been very impressive at home for OKC. 17-3 straight up, 15-5 against the number. I know you gave it out on the bonus play. You right. definitely do like the Thunder minus the 3.5.
But if somebody took the Spurs, I couldn't say you're wrong. I understand they're getting 3.5. People are going to remember the last game, but the NBA is a league where you got to forget what just happened and you got to move on to the next game. I think that since LeBron got into the league, I blame him and a lot of the union players for this. The time off between games is a lot better now than it used to be. It used to be more of a grueling schedule. But also, if you finish up earlier, the time off is even longer than it used to be. I mean, look at what happened in the hockey, you know? Yeah. I mean, you had a lot of time off for Carolina, didn't you?
Yep, they did.
And what, they have 11 games or something like that off, and then they came and played Montreal, right?
Yeah, and they lost that first one, yeah.
And they lost the first one, and was it because of Russ now? Because now, do you want too much time off?
Good question.
In the NBA or not enough?
I mean, the Knicks are going to have a nice long break here.
Oklahoma City's going to be able to rest. In the old days, after the Game 7 was over,
you would have started.
In a day or two, you would have started.
2 days later, you would have started.
Yeah, you would have started. And then now your legs are still weary, yeah, and the tension's still there from the past game, and that's where the games change.
Yeah, the games don't start until Wednesday regardless.
Come on, you're right, rested, Carmen. Yeah. You remember? I vaguely remember when I was 22. I never got tired.
Not at 22.
No. So everybody's going to be fine.
So the Knicks have won 11 straight. It's mm-hmm. currently the third longest winning streak in a single postseason in NBA history. It's tied with the 0-1 Lakers and the 89 Lakers. So a couple of Lakers teams. The 0-1 Lakers did win the title. The 89 Lakers were swept in the finals by the Pistons. The longest winning streak in NBA postseason history belongs to the 17 Warriors. They won 15 straight en route to a title. And then the 99 Spurs won 12 straight, and they won a title, obviously, as well. So those are the two longest streaks ever. Knicks are tied for the third longest. And if they can rip off a sweep, they will tie the all-time record. I don't think that's in the cards for the Knicks, but that's just how good they've played, Mike. I mean, they're number one in offensive rating in the playoffs. They've got the best shooting in the playoffs. They have really been an offensive juggernaut.
Yet I know that the Knicks of the 90s would have killed this team. That's just the way I feel. I mean, Brunson and I love their team, but the Ewing teams, I don't hate the New York Knicks like I hated the other New York teams, because Ewing got it in the you-know-what because he played at the same time as Jordan. I never saw a guy play harder. I never saw a guy sweat more.
Right.
And bust his ass.
Yeah.
There'd be a puddle under him at 5 minutes in. He wanted it so bad, but they didn't have enough. With the team around him, the Starks of the world, the Brick Masons. But I wanted it for him. But I look at this NBA now, and I know they'll say, oh, the rules are different, everything else. But the Celtics, the Bulls, the Knicks, those guys, 80s, 90s, they would have beat these teams, in my opinion. Now, they can't even call where they have the advantage now is if you brush a guy. I mean, how much did you watch Gillis get fouled a couple times?
Shea Gilgeous? Yeah. Some of them are ridiculous. Yeah, I agree.
They're brushing by. It's sort of like when the batter now, but you can't call this in baseball. If the boss skims his jersey now, you know, in the old days, they plunk you. Now it skims your jersey, and with replay, you can give him first base. That's the way fouls are being called now, and it's very, very hard to play defense. It is. So we'll see what happens. I just think, who's got the better players at the end of the day? Who, in your opinion? I think this is wide open.
It'd be nice if
Oklahoma City or New York can win it right now.
I think they can, but I think the Knicks can. You're right. I would still lean, like you said with Luke, I would still lean towards, if you said you got to pick one team right now, I would still pick Oklahoma City to win it all. But I don't say that with a great deal of confidence.
But how hard did Cleveland play? How bad was Cleveland?
They were pretty bad, especially in that fourth game.
Oh,
that was pretty bad.
And the third game was no bargain.
You know, and listen, your coach is talking about winning the analytic battle.
Yeah,
that's fine in the regular season. I don't think you want your fan base hearing that in the playoffs when you're down 0-3.
I like Kenny Atkinson. Horrible statement.
Yeah.
The Harden Carmelo Anthony comparisons are tantamount here. They both hold the ball for 15 seconds and show everybody they can dribble behind their back and through their legs. I don't get it. Basketball is a game of movement, and Harden stops the game to show everybody he could shoot a three. And that's why the Knicks had an easy road. The Cleveland, at the end of the day, they looked like an expansion team against the Knicks. They really did. And I love Donovan Mitchell, but
yeah,
he's never made it. I mean, seriously.
No, I know. They got,
you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with the team from last year just because of what you said earlier, experience.
Experience, yeah. And, you know, there's been a long drought here without a back-to-back champ. It's the longest drought in NBA history. It's seven consecutive years with a new champ. You know, I thought for most of this season that that's probably going to end this year, that the Thunder are going to go back-to-back. I'm not nearly as confident. And the injuries have something to do with it. They're missing two very key, vital players to their rotation, in A.J. Mitchell and in Jalen Williams, who tried to come back and play last night, but he was totally ineffective. I don't know if he's going to be able to play Saturday night. So we'll see. I mean, that matters.
Good point.
And I mean, I'm not as confident as I was just you know, a month ago. I would say that, Mike, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's just one of those deals. And now, and hockey's rolling right now. I think the hockey playoffs have been better.
Yes,
than
I agree
the
with
NBA
you.
Playoffs.
I agree.
And I think it usually pans out that way every year until you get to the.
Yep.
I mean, in the game the other night with the Spurs,
it was a blowout when it was all
right.
said and done. There was nothing
nothing
fun to watch in the second half, really. I mean, it was, you know, just a blowout.
After, I hope our baseball teams can stay in. We're still living off the Hammond and Arlington Heights thing where you got to be absolutely sick about it. And by the way, I want to give a guy that's he's got the same birthday as I do. Carb's good friend, very great. I think he has a great show, like the rest of the shows here. Sylvie wrote a pretty damn, or made some statements about saying it's both sides, and I don't want to hear one side over the other. Sorry. I know the McCaskey family for 40, 45 years, folks. I've dealt with them. Believe me, it's both sides. They got up from the table a few times, and Illinois is putrid also. So I'm praying to God, but hopefully everything worked out.
I hope so, too. I don't even know what to expect. Like, if the legislature adjourns this week and there's no who knows what happens? Like, will George finally have the courage to say, all right, we're going to move? Or is this just a negotiating ploy all along? Who knows?
I'm praying it's a negotiation point.
See.
But I just had to put that in. I just can't believe we're at this point.
I know. All right, coming up next, we got Jim Miller with Ponies and then Best Plays rolling into the weekend. Don't go anywhere, folks. Mike and Carmen coming right back. We're the Odds Couple on ESPN Chicago.
This is The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000. This is The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco and Mike North on ESPN 1000.
Entering the home stretch on this week's episode of The Odds Couple, Mike and Carmen getting you the finish line, getting you set for your weekend, and it is time for some expert handicapping. From the best in the business, our good friend from Hawthorne Racecourse, where they've got racing this weekend. The Thoroughbreds are going. You can follow him on X. He is at Hawthorne Jim. He joins us on the Yingling guest hotline. It's Jim Miller.
Jimmy!
All right, boys, we're 1 week away from the Belmont. This has been a weird Triple Crown season. You did have the Derby that took place at Churchill, but then the Preakness took place at Laurel Park. The Belmont next week is going to take place at Saratoga. So it's been like musical racetracks this year for the Triple Crown. But, guys, it's going to be a really good race. Five of the top 10 finishers of the Kentucky Derby are expected back in the Belmont, and it should be just one of those really excellent fields for what's been a pretty good Triple Crown season.
Who's going to be the favorite, Jimmy?
It's hard because think about it. Golden Tempo, who won the Derby, is coming back in there. But I think Renegade will probably be the favorite. This is the horse that finished second in the Kentucky Derby. I think he'll end up going favored. And it actually wouldn't surprise me if either Chief Wallaby or Commandment, who also come out of the Derby, are maybe even the second choice. And a horse like Golden Tempo is sitting as the third or fourth choice just because it was such an upset in the Derby. It would not surprise me if this is a horse that's maybe overlooked a little bit in this year's Belmont.
You know, Jimmy, have they been fine in a way with the Preakness moving and with the Belmont? Because I think if you're a horse player, if you love the horses, you'll just bet whatever track it's at. I understand the Belmont is the mile and a half. Is this going to be the same amount of is it a mile and a half? Is it going to be less? And what's should racing maybe think about the Belmont or the Preakness at times, moving it around the country and letting other people see a big-time race by itself.
Well, and that's one of the things that you talk about. First off, for this year's Belmont Stakes, you're right, Mike. It will not be at a mile and a half distance. It'll be a mile and a quarter at Saratoga. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going to draw a few more horses into the race, because a mile and a half is a pretty grueling distance for a racehorse. And then when you talk about the locations, it kind of comes down to what you want to do with the tradition, because you have had, of course, the Derby's at Churchill. That's not moving. The Preakness has kind of bounced around a little bit, so we'll see if it pops up permanently at Pimlico. Belmont's under construction. I do think the Belmont ends up there. Where it falls on the calendar, maybe we're not too far away from seeing 3 weeks between each of the races instead of two between the first two legs. But, guys, this year it's been a really good Triple Crown season. So we'll see if they make those moves quickly or kind of wait a little bit.
Where are we wagering this weekend, my friend?
Home cooking this weekend. Three horses that I like at Hawthorne. The last three races on Sunday's card are all on the turf course. We're going to bet all these horses across the board. Start out in race number five on Sunday with the one, King of Sheba, across the board. Then go to race six. We'll bet the seven, Nitschke, across the board. And in race seven, bet the five, Moogie Sun, across the board. And we'll make some money, boys.
All right, so turf racing Sunday. The last three races at Hawthorne, all on the turf, as Jimmy said. What a beautiful weekend it's going to be for racing, too. So here you go. Race five, the one horse across the board. Race six, I like the name of this horse, the seven horse, Nitschke, across the board. And then race seven, the five across the board. Is that right, Jim?
That's right, boys. Build the bankroll for the Belmont.
Yeah, have a good weekend, and we'll talk Belmont with you next week, okay?
All right, guys. Good luck.
See you, buddy.
Jimmy!
There he is, Jim Miller, on the Yuengling guest hotline over at Hawthorne. All right, that is going to lead us into best plays. Mikey, where do you want to start, my friend?
Well, you start, my friend, because you were off last week. I know you've been sharpening the pencil.
I have been. We touched on it a little. Let's hit this hockey game tonight. We got game five Friday night in Raleigh. It's the Hurricanes and the Canadiens. The total in this game is 5.5. It's a pretty common, normal total that you'll see in hockey games. Canes games are 10-2 to the under in the playoffs. And that is because this team can just tighten and strangle the ever-living hell out of your offense. They're just that good. They're allowing only 22.2 shots per game in the playoffs. That's the fewest. They're also allowing the fewest expected goals per game this year in the postseason. Carolina has played five OT games. They've won all five of those. All five of those have still gone under. They are just very, very good at limiting the opposition. Their goalie is very good. And this team looks like they're going to be tough to beat. And I think certainly going to be tough to beat in game five. So we'll go ahead and say the under in this one, just kind of play the trend and play the strengths of the Carolina Hurricanes. Will play under 5.5 tonight in game five.
Did you hear that explanation, folks? Did you hear what he did? That's 7 years. That ain't just like a word, hey, bet this or bet that or come to it. That's experience.
Some detail in it, right?
Yeah, laid it experience out.
Yes.
That's what DeFalco does, ladies and gentlemen. There was a show called DeFalco once on TV. I think there was a detective show. Anyway, back in the 60s. Anyway, Carm, we talked to Carolina. We rode them for 2 years, and we lost.
Now they do dust us. It's crazy,
but
Mike.
I see Vegas is scared to death. -1.5. I can't tell you if I've ever. I always take the points when I do the puck line.
Hmm.
But it's only $105 plus. They're $105. So you bet $100, you win $105. You bet you get the 1.5 with Montreal. Okay, it's -125. That's not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If they were going to be competitive in my world, it's -160 for the 1.5, -170 for the 1.5. I think Carolina comes in tonight, and we're talking 3-0, 4-0, because I do happen to like the under with Carm. I'm leaning that way. I wouldn't take it. Carm takes that. I'm taking, and we've won some pars. Mm-hmm. I would, if you take Carolina, if you bet them separately, I think the worst we're going to do is 1-1, and the best we're going to do is 2-0.
There you go.
That's it.
I love it.
That's all I got.
That's all for me, too. So we got the hockey game covered tonight. I love it.
All right, now, we got another guy. I think he's, is he ready?
Aiden's
to make
in the house. He's ready.
Oh, I'm ready, Mike.
Oh, it's Aiden's army. That's right. That's right. Just an army of pick after pick after pick, but we only need one right now, my friend. What you got for us?
I'm sticking with the hockey, but I'm going to look ahead here as lines for the Stanley Cup Finals are already out. And I'm going to take the Vegas Golden Knights.
Are you?
They're at plus 130 right now.
Not bad.
Carolina's minus 150, and the Canadiens obviously a long shot at plus 3,000 if they're down in the series. Goaltending wins you Stanley Cups. Carter Hart's been phenomenal. John Tortorella is 19-4 since taking over this team, and I don't think they're stopping there. You can argue rest versus rust, whatever you want, and you get the little bonus if there's any chance in the world that Montreal comes back. You still get Vegas at the plus 130.
What's Montreal down now?
They're down 3-1.
They're down 3-1. Yeah.
So if you bet 100 right now with Montreal, you could win 3,000, right? And they're not a bad team.
They're 30-1. Yeah.
That's why wouldn't you even take a shot? You got to take a shot, right?
That's way to go.
I know.
All right, Aiden, good stuff. I like it. We all played some hockey. Good stuff.
Yeah,
guys.
I love it.
All right, everybody, enjoy game 7 in the NBA Western Conference Finals. And next week we'll be talking about, we'll be a couple of games into the NBA Finals. The Stanley Cup Final will be underway. It'll be a lot of good stuff to catch everybody up on, and we'll be into June. Holy cow. So enjoy the weekend, everyone. Thanks again, as always, to Eric Ostrowski for producing, Aiden O'Connor for helping today. Thanks to Jim Miller, Luke Pergandy, and most importantly, thank you, everyone, for listening. Mikey, enjoy the weekend, buddy. Happy wagering. We'll talk again next Friday.
So long, everybody.
This is The Odds Couple
on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.